You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Let's go.
I'm already off my game. I'm plugging my headphones and it's not coming in stereo. So it's like, I don't like it. It's against my whole.
Use the big adapter and it'll sound a lot better.
That doesn't work.
You only hear. Oh, okay. So the plug at the on your headset. Hold on. Plug that. Make sure that's in all the way.
Hold on. You see? Hold on. I think you got it now. Hold on.
There we go.
Yes.
See,
that's why Matt's the best engineering maniac in
America.
That's
why I'm here.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Typical talent. Doesn't know how to use.
I didn't say that.
That's what he said. Typical talent.
Just trying to trace through what could have gone wrong.
Idiot doesn't know use
your
headphones.
If half of them's working. Oh, look at that.
Oh,
Gentry.
My God. Matt Gentry for the drive dropping off Apple
Fritters.
He drove
over to The Voice and...
You know, did Albert on Donuts get like a paint job? Because it's funny, I've had like two people who are like, hey, I was looking for Albert on Donuts on the way to the studio and I couldn't find it. I go, it's still there, buddy. So...
This is the second cross station thing for Matt this week. He does the thing with Gaston Rolando down the hall at Poderosa. Mateo El Gringo.
Oh my!
It's a great segment.
Do they make him say chimichanga?
He's got a neighbor that gives him phrases to learn, and then he finds out from Gaston and Rolly that his neighbor is leading them astray. It's not what they. It's the phrase doesn't say what they say it. What they told him it was.
That's beautiful.
And then he tries to decipher or translate a song for Gaston and Rolly. Oh, actually, he sings the song phonetically, and the listeners on La Poderosa try to figure out what song that Mateo El Gringo, a.k.a. Matt Gentry, is singing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great
segment. So check it. They posted it on Facebook yesterday. It's a fun segment.
All right. We will check it out. Check out Gaston Mascarenas.
Mascareñas, yes.
Mascareñas. Yes. Sorry, I didn't know we had an Añe over there.
Or La Poderosa Tucson.
So
they have a lot of fun, our neighbors. Yes, they do.
We have a lot of fun on this morning. Yeah, yeah. The quietest guy's Mikey down at the Groove in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's very, very peaceful. You know, he's like a librarian down there. I don't know what's going on there. Right, he says hi, and he's a very nice guy.
Good dude, man. Yeah.
Oh, he is a good dude. I'm just saying, he's very quiet down there. Like, maybe he's an animal on the air, like grooving, you know, and then he comes in, and he's just a man of peace, it seems like, Mikey, when he walks down the street. So, walks down the hallway, excuse me. Feels like a street. All right. We got guests today. John Post from the Marana Pumpkin Patch / Christmas Express.
Wow.
Is going to be here at 6:30.
And Santa Cannon.
Santa Cannon sounds great.
Huh?
What can we shoot out of the cannon?
We get a volunteer.
Don't say elected officials.
Santa
everyone
volunteer.
So he'll be here. Christmas Express starts a week from today. And then we'll have Fatima, the fabulous Fatima from Incas Peruvian will be here for Food Friday.
Absolutely.
Then we have Mark Van Buren will be here for... movies, and today he's going to be counting down movies that are not the typical Christmas movies that you would watch during Christmas, you know, like Wonderful Life, Christmas Story, the ones that we all love. It's not those, it's that other level of ones that are still worthy of your attention and something a little different, maybe.
The B-sides.
Correct. So the Schmoog went nuts on me when I put it on Facebook today. There's some good ones. I will not accept Trapped in Paradise. Even Dana Carvey says that's the crap-ass movie. That's the one with him and Lovitz and Nick
Dana
Cage.
Even Dana Carvey says
Carvey's like,
box office
it's trash.
Okay.
I mean, this is the guy who made Master of Disguise, for God's sakes. Turtle. But there are some good ones in here. Batman Returns is trash. But we'll... Funny Farm is... I just watched that last half of Funny Farm is when they try to sell the house during Christmas with Chevy Chase.
All right.
And it's pretty, pretty good. So, and then Juan Siskamani at 8:08 in the morning will be calling in from D.C. Let's see. We got schools are changing grades. Businesses in, quote, George Floyd Square... are suing the city of Minneapolis over crime. We have some. I didn't watch the Newsom DeSantis thing. Sounds like DeSantis. There's one line here that I know all the Democrats or even some of the MAGA peers are getting excited about, which is a Gavin Newsom line, because it has to do with Trump, right? And I wouldn't be too. It's like, don't be too happy. Watch Matt Walsh destroy Trump on accepting the Black Lives Matter endorsement for presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's as if you forgot everything they did in the past, right? That they're a Marxist, racist, violent organization that hates cops.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump's like, it's a great big endorsement.
And apparently likes the terrorists coming in on paragliders to kill innocent women.
That's
and
true,
children.
Too.
Yeah.
We have a family seeking $90 million settlement from the town of Oral Valley. This is a story by Rebecca Taylor. But what's interesting about this story is Tim Bowen, who is the member of the city council, actually goes out to the spot. And if I was the attorneys for the town of Oral Valley, I would be horrified by this. If there is a, you know, there's one of those things where we're in the middle of a lawsuit, don't talk to the press.
Right.
This is what, this feels like. What, so we, this has been a week of PR blunders, right? Robbins, Katie Hobbs on killing the Marana prison right before Christmas, all those jobs. Right. And we might have the town of Oral Valley. Then we have, I can't believe it. We were just talking about Master of Disguise, a horrible movie by Dana Carvey. And where he does the line where he dresses as a turtle, and he says, turtle, right?
Okay.
It's horrible.
Okay.
So I get to say the words, turtle.
Oh, we're going to go there again. Okay.
So this is Shelby Slaughter did this story on KOLD, because they had, I got the email. I had things to do yesterday, so I couldn't sit in on a Zoom press conference with the Humane Society.
Sure.
So we're going to talk about what Terry Flores, who's the private investigator hired by the HSSA, and tell you kind of what he said he found. So we'll talk about that. A KJAZ reporter up in Phoenix is arrested during that protest. Now, why do they say U of A Tech Park? Isn't it the?
That's the grounds. It is.
But isn't the entrance to Raytheon? Isn't this a Raytheon?
What they actually blocked was, and what really this is what got them in trouble is they blocked the entrance and were criminally trespassing on Raytheon property.
So
Raytheon.
Why don't they say the word Raytheon? Well, they say it. They say it on
Raytheon. The Tech Park is the overall property, but Raytheon's is part of it.
Right.
Right.
Gotcha. I didn't know that the U of A Tech Park. So they can go down there and say, look at the U of A Tech Park. We did this, even though the place has been there for 90 years.
Yeah, and, right? And you know, Dylan lost his mind, and him and his buddy did a 1,700-word screed about, you know, Patrick, give me liberty or give me death and all this stuff about this reporter. Because that was, to them, that was the story that a reporter had to leave. And, you know, even the police or the sheriffs, when they responded, they said, look, if you guys go over there where it's public property, you can go exercise your First Amendment, you know, rights.
That's what it sounds like.
And they
right?
ignored multiple requests, including this reporter. And she found out what they meant when they said, do you have to leave this private property?
So she didn't move. Right. And then, of course, they only post the video of the part where she gets arrested.
Of course.
And she says,
so I'm like,
the press.
Oh, look, I'm walking to my car right now. Oh, you're under arrest. It's and, you know, you ignore the 20 minutes before that.
Shocking.
That's what's wrong with all these, you know, citizen journalists. I'm a journalism. So, you know,
actually, let's just go with let's not. There's some good citizen journalists.
I'm not saying
out there.
That the reporter was a citizen but that's the guy standing there with the phone. Right. And that's all
but
she sees.
But
you see this little snapshot of the entire.
But she okayed it. It's not like the reporter's coming out going, the video that my organization put out, which is just that step, but she didn't go, well, that was wrong.
Right.
She wanted to be the press martyr.
Of course.
So, all right, before we go to break, Babylon Bee, we're big fans here. I love this one. To encourage Biden to rescue Israeli hostages, posters will now only feature photos of WNBA players. B! So good. All right, so birthdays today, it's going to be quite a mix. Quite a mix. So John Densmore from The Doors, Lou Rawls, love Lou Rawls, Gilbert O'Sullivan, and guitarist, vocalist for Blue Oyster Cult. So we're doing all birthdays today. So I love when we have these wacky combos of the unbelievably smooth Lou Rawls and the boys from The Doors. They're gonna dominate today. So here we go. Little Christmas is Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. 6:21 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. We got Lou Rawls, John Densmore from The Doors. It's going to be a wild ride, babe. Wild. It's Rosa Parks Day in honor of Rosa Parks. This is the day she got arrested for not going to the back of the bus. And as a wakey texted me early this morning because I put it on Facebook, it said if Rosa Parks was on a SunTran bus, she would have been stabbed by a Fenty head before she ever was asked to do anything. So just going by the SunTran report.
Ask the drivers.
And also the idea is, you know, it's also considered National Courage. Courage. Do my best Bert Lahr. Courage. It's a something that society, especially in this town, is in great shortcoming. Tragedy of commons. Everyone wants to take care of their own little thing while the rest of society and their community burns. So we are teeming in the tragedy of commons here in Tucson, Arizona. It's good to see Mayor Ed has got there. At least there is a story about him responding in KOLD about the closing of the prison by the not-so-wonderful Katie Hobbs. Now, remember, whenever a Democrat, especially a leftist like Katie Hobbs, says she's doing this to save money and eliminate government waste, you know she's lying to you. Again, when they went to all mail-in ballots at the city of Tucson and they said it was to save money, liar, liar, pants and fuego. That's what I would say. What else do we got here today? Okay, the reporter girl, we got that. We're done. Fertile Turtle. Let's get to the Fertile Turtle. So Humane Society announces findings of Terry Flores, private investigator, said he was it's an internal workplace investigation, not a criminal inquiry. So we did find a few things. I remember when this whole thing was going down, I was talking to Steve and I said, remember, this is before any of this happened. My thing to Steve was admonition, not ammunition, admonition, was never take 300 rats from anybody. Or rodent-like creatures. It's a no-win situation. Especially in the animal shelter world, because they treat that rat the same thing as they would your dog. Okay? And they get very passionate. Many of the animals may have been... they say they may have been frozen. The owners of the rescue group own a... reptile company in Maricopa called the Fertile Turtle. Hey, Matthew, Mr. Post is here. Can you
yes, sir.
Get him, please? Thank you, buddy. The Humane Society said 17 interviews were conducted, which included the owner of the Fertile Turtle, Colton Jones. Flores said some of those people were interviewed more than once. The investigator found that the HSSA did not count the number of animals it received from San Diego Humane Society, but it was close to 300. The investigation found former operations Christian Gonzalez was the person who chose to send the animals to Jones. Now remember, Christian Gonzalez had been there for 13 years. So I assume they had a relationship of doing this. Now, did Christian Gonzalez vet the Fertile Turtle guys strong enough? That remains to be seen. Now, so in text messages from Jones, who is the Fertile Turtle, to Flores, the investigator, he states he was never given any directions or conditions from anyone for receiving the small animals and finding them a home. He was told, quote, they needed to be cared for. Fertile Turtle Guy said in the same text thread with the investigator, he did not freeze or sell any of the animals. The day before, he said, quote, I'm an animal lover. They're all placed in loving homes, but we are private people who don't want to be bothered, unquote. September 30th, he sent another text saying, quote, just because I'm a lover of all animals, not just the furry ones, doesn't mean they were fed the snakes as many have accused me of, unquote. Jones further asserted, this is the Fertile Turtle Guy, that the animals had a rough day on the day of transfer. He texted, quote, also, I'd like to make mention that the animals, when I received them, were very stressed, and some of those should have not been sent as they had tubers and were matted when I received them. That wasn't from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. That was from where they were at before, which was the San Diego Humane Society. Those people, the people want to be, those are the people that want to be, that should be held accountable. Quote, they should look at the people that were sent them as they cannot prove that they were in the best of health to be sent. They don't have any of it documented, and if they did, why did they send them? Those are just death sentences when you add on the stress. I would question they were not healthy from the beginning, unquote. So, in the end, right, so Flores says the incident was a result of the failure of leadership to conduct due diligence in exploring the magnitude of accepting such a large animal transfer from a sister rescue organization. It suffered from lack of communication, assumption about what was being asked of the team, and the absence of the CEO in directly managing such an undertaking. Furthermore, policies were either sidestepped or ignored, and proper research into what rescues HSSA works with was not done, unquote. So after all of this and 17 interviews, there's no proof that the Fertile Turtle Guy sold anybody, sold any of these things. He's saying that the animals that came from the San Diego Humane Society, a good portion of them were messed up and had cancerous tumors. I mean, what are we doing here? I remember people the stories that I'd heard is that also when the San Diego people shipped them to Tucson, the truck was not air conditioned.
Right, I heard that too.
So,
so while we're pointing fingers, let's point all the fingers, right?
Right. So the San Diego Humane Society is a train wreck. We've learned. We still don't know if the guy, the Fertile Turtle Guy, there's no proof that he sold them and froze them. Now, I guess the Humane Society can ask, can you please, if I was the Fertile Turtle Guy, if he really didn't do it, right? What I would be saying is, I'll come back to you. You want him back? Tag him. I'm okay with that. We'll see. All right, we got our good friends here from the Marana Pumpkin Patch Christmas Express coming up next. Fatima from Inca's Peruvian celebrating 14 years at 7:07. And then Mark Van Buren doing some deep tracks Christmas movies. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, we're celebrating Lou Rawls' birthday today, so we're alternating between Lou Rawls and The Doors. I mean, how's that for a Wake Up Tucson show today? Good morning, my friend John Post. His family owns the Marana Pumpkin Patch, and he's shifting into Christmas Express mode. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing great.
So I know it was a little bit of a challenging pumpkin patch because it was the most blazing hot autumn ever.
The most challenging year. Yeah, it was a little bit tough, but
still had
it
good
ended
crowds.
Up being very successful.
Awesome.
People need to come out. They want to come out no matter what. So just kind of drives the crowds to different weekends that you're not used to.
Right, and you know, I keep saying the region is dying for family friendly activities like this.
Absolutely, and that's what brings them out. Is they just want to do stuff with their family. So if they miss a weekend because it's 100, they're going to be there the next weekend.
So between last year and this year, you finished up and severely upgraded your food game.
Yep, yep.
And how did that go this last month?
You know, our food, the food that we do there, went fantastic. I invited 5 food trucks this year.
Yep.
I think they were... I know they were woefully unprepared for... the the people, the amount of people.
I'm out of stuff in the first 90 minutes, John.
It was like that. And we tried to explain to them. We tried to walk them through it. And they just, bless their heart, they just couldn't get it done. So we'll have to do more in-house stuff.
That's okay. So we're shifting into Christmas mode a week from today.
Yeah. We are still frantically working to get, you know, it's funny. You hear people tell you how many lights they have at a different event here, a different event there. How they arrive at a number, I have no idea. If I was to guess, I'd say millions and millions of lights. It's everything that we can throw a light on has got a light on. It's crazy. I've got about 20 people working 10 hours a day trying to get these lights finished. That's how many lights goes up at the pumpkin patch.
That's amazing. Now, is this more lights than last year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in a different show. So we change up the we have two lighted to music shows, and we change those up every year.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a different show, different props, stuff like that. It's really cool.
What's the themes of the shows?
Christmas. Come on.
Well, I don't know. There's variety.
No themes necessary.
Okay.
You know, I think people misunderstand. They think of the pumpkin patch and how crowded it is and how busy. And, you know, although the lines move, people don't want to see that for Christmas. And it's a completely different event. We have five trains that we run. And so a train comes into the station every 5 minutes and holds about 75 people. So we can get through a lot of people in a short period of time. So waiting for the train, the most you'd wait to get on a train to see the lights is about 10 minutes. It is the absolute best place for families and especially grandparents to take their family to see lights in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, it is, because it's easy walking.
It's the easiest thing in the world. Park, walk in, that's the farthest walking you do.
So you have that big, beautiful grass area kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening there during the...
So we've got some more props there. We got a huge Christmas tree, 30-foot lighted Christmas tree. We have a giant snowman, walk-through snowman, some other walk-through displays. It's really beautiful. It really is.
I love it. How about the food and drink options? Do they change a little bit?
Yep, they do change a little bit. We do... we're doing Mexican food. We do Mexican food at Christmas time, and so we'll do meals. Of course, we still have burgers and fries. And
what kind of Mexican food are you doing?
Tamales, carne asada tacos, chicken tacos.
Love it.
It's pretty good. It's good for about 10 pounds. Yeah.
Well, you've served the Mexican food at the last Marana Chamber event we did out there. It was great.
Yeah, so that was kind of a trial run of, you know, making sure we could produce quality food, and it was pretty good.
I'm a little bit of a snob on such things.
We're excited. You know, it's different. I know I am too, a food snob, but when you feed thousands of people, it's very difficult, and you still want to have something that's very quick.
Yep.
You know, wait in line 5 or 10 minutes, then get your food in 5 or 10 minutes, and so quick but still good.
So during the pumpkin patch, I'm getting pumpkin pie and things like that. What's dessert look like at the bake shop there?
So the bakery does a little bit different stuff. I honestly have no idea.
Your sister
does. My sister does that, and she will have something that is absolutely delicious.
I love it. All right. So. And then, of course, hot cocoa flowing.
Absolutely. We will go through hundreds and hundreds of gallons of cocoa a night.
Beautiful.
It's just crazy.
All right, so you're doing not this weekend, but the next two weekends, right?
Yep, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then, so just three weekends, Friday, Saturday, and then the last day is the 23rd.
And what's the hours?
5 to 9.
5 to 9.
Yep.
Again, this is something that's an easy...
This is the easiest, the best Christmas show in Southern Arizona. It is fantastic. And don't kid yourself. Don't be alarmed. There's not going to be 100,000 people there. It is very lightly attended, so it's a great, great family event.
No, it's where, like I said, I will definitely be there this year.
Good.
So, yeah. I you know, when I texted you about the pumpkin cannons, It's the closest I've gotten to sobbing in a long time. I texted you too late. This is on me.
Yep.
And you're
put them away.
God
yeah.
Dang.
We kind of winterized them, washed them out, put them away. Yeah. I'm looking for different things to shoot next year. So if you come up with some good stuff, you know. We shot at a van one year. Somebody donated a van. I'll find some pictures and send them to you.
Oh.
It was just destroyed. I mean, all the way through, there was nothing left of that van.
Shooting pumpkins at it?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yep. I love it. So what's the vision here for the pumpkin patch to do more? Because since the last time between times I'd been there, you built the big stage.
Mm-hmm.
You got a beautiful kind of concert event area you seem to be developing. What do you want happen between Christmas and next pumpkin patch?
You know, it's kind of funny, but we're actually going to do a few proms.
That's huge.
Not for profit, unfortunately, but that's fine. You know, helping out some schools. So we're going to do some high school proms. And then next year's plan is to do a pre-October concert. So maybe a Tejano concert on a Friday night, and then, you know, like a country concert or something on the next Saturday night of our opening weekend.
Oh, beautiful.
And so just kind of start to move into stuff like that. Tucson is tough to get concerts going because we have the casinos and things like that, but... You know, I want to do more farm-themed events, maybe a sweet corn festival.
Love it.
You know, it kind of sounds cliche, but maybe a watermelon festival, things like that.
Well, let's max it out, bud.
Yeah, anything we can do to get people, families come out, have a good time.
The region's dying for a really good...
Yeah.
We're dying for a good Oktoberfest, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yep. You know, and now with a... alcohol license that we have on the facility.
Oh, we good.
Do stuff like that. So,
all right.
You know, that's something that people really are looking for.
I love it. All right. So, Marana Pumpkin Patch Christmas Express starts a week from today. Opens at 5?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. And he can't count the lights.
No. Yeah. I mean, I guess we could do a contest, but I wouldn't know who the winner would be.
30-foot Christmas tree.
Yep.
You got a giant snowman you can walk through.
Yep.
Sounds right to me.
I mean, just tons of photo ops. Santa is going to be there. Santa actually came in the other night for, you know, just to look around, and he's pretty excited. And I'm pretty excited because, hey, let's be honest, the guy looks the part.
Wow.
You know.
I love it.
Rare these days.
Well, I love what you and the family are doing together out there.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You know,
I appreciate your support.
You guys are in the best town in Southern Arizona.
It is.
And I don't even live there. Okay. You're in the best town in Southern Arizona. You got all of that space out there, and I think you're reading what the market is craving for, which is this family-friendly farm. You know, once you get into the music thing, it's this is an easy one.
Yeah, and we're so fortunate to be where we're at. We have a town that supports us, with a chamber that supports us, with a community that just loves what we do. And so, you know, when I say stuff like doing proms for no money, I'm happy to do things like that, you know, because we're just a little bit of giving back.
The thing about the whole idea of the prom, just doing it at that place, it's too much. It makes too much sense. You have a truckload of parking.
Yep.
You got the big barn to do all the food and all that stuff there.
Yeah. I mean, a prom is perfect there.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, with this is still a fallout from COVID. They can't afford to go anywhere else.
Right.
You know, I mean, they can't afford the big ritzy resort that they normally go to. And so.
I think I'd be thrilled to have my prom at your place.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to your place than a hotel ballroom.
It's going to be really fun. We're really excited for these kids.
Mark, my hotel guy out there, is like, just put his head up. It's still better than a ballroom, Mark. So, all right, you want to check out MaranaPumpkinPatch.com. And then again, if you could go to the plan page, that'll give you pricing and tickets, and then also give you the calendar that basically it's open for the next 3 weekends through the 23rd?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right, starts at 5 o'clock each day.
Yes, it does.
All right. Before you leave, we'll figure out a time. I have to come out there and do this thing with you guys.
Perfect.
All right. John Post, Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
All right, that's John Post, Marana Pumpkin Patch Christmas Express. Go to MaranaPumpkinPatch.com and hit calendar, hit the plan button, and you'll see calendar and hours. We're also doing our Christmas party at the White Stallion Ranch on December 15th. Please join us. You have to go to WhiteStallion.com, hit the gift shop button, and you'll see get your tickets. There is a limited amount of tickets. There's only so much space in the room, so they are going pretty good. So go to White Stallion Ranch. Sorry, WhiteStallion.com, December 15th at 5:30. All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. 6:48 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. I don't know about you. I'm pumped to go to the Christmas Express. Mark Van Buren's here.
Absolutely.
Hold on. Matt. Mr. Hull, let's do it again. Mark's going to get a... You still don't have it.
Okay.
There you
are.
Let's start
there we are.
Let's start all the way from the beginning.
Okay.
I was so excited about those talking about Christmas lights with John Post, and I know Mark Van Buren is a huge Christmas light guy.
I am. My lights went up the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you know, I got the whole street is done, except I have these neighbors across the street that just kind of don't get it. And but the rest of the street is totally done. And I love it.
We call them the Oral Valley Jerk Stores. The Jerk Stores calling. They ran out of you guys. Again, what they're building out there at this Marana Pumpkin Patch as they move through here.
I definitely want to check it out.
I mean, I'm a nut with this stuff anyway, so, like, just like you are.
Well, I think those things, I think families are always looking for things to do. And, you know, this is definitely family oriented, and we need more of that kind of stuff. Put your phones down and go out and do something together.
Hello. Well, like I said, the one thing I really like the idea is that he built a big, like, concrete stage.
Yep.
Right, and he's got a huge grass area out there, and it's perfect for...
Does he have any problem with noise ordinances or anything out there?
He's so far from everybody.
Okay, I was just wondering.
Remember, he's just south of Pinal Airport.
At the track, you know, one of our biggest things is having the entertainment, the Mexican music, after or during the last couple of races and then after for an hour. And there's this woman who basically shut us down. And they're not going to let them do it anymore. And it's
so
like,
the county's shutting down the track. Doing
the,
that?
The music, they're not going to let them do it anymore. And it's just like, are you kidding me?
Because of that one lady, I saw
one
her. She
lady.
She came to the Board of Soups.
Oh, she's something else. I mean, she has nothing better to do with her life. You know, for 8 weeks, it really bothers her that, you know, on weekends for like 2 hours they play music over there. So that's what you're dealing with.
So when she came to the Board of Soups,
yep.
The self-righteous indignation and also the way she described it.
Yeah.
You just knew she was exaggerating like hell.
Well, she came to see me at the track, and I said, Miss, I said, do you even know what the decibel level is that you're talking about? And she goes, well, I don't have any of that information. And I go, well, exactly. So I said, what? I said,
how
and this
far,
track
does,
has
how
been
far
her,
does she live?
She lives across the river, okay, in an apartment. Across the river. I mean, it's you can throw a stone and you're going to hit it from
okay.
the track. Yeah. So, I mean, she's fairly close,
but she said at the meeting.
Yes.
I have friends over and I can't even go outside on my patio. The music's
yeah.
so loud.
Yeah, like you're going out in your patio when it's 100 degrees or whatever it is. And it's just the whole thing's totally absurd.
What district are you guys in? Are you in Rex's district? Are you in District 1?
You know what? I don't even remember.
Probably.
Wasn't getting a lot of help from anybody.
So, all right. Pima County shuts down Tejano music. Nice. Nice going, Pima County, because of one complainer.
Oh, no, you know what? I think they said you can do it inside the grandstand. Well, why would you do it inside the grandstand?
So stupid.
It's just dumb.
So
is there an inside of the grandstand? are there windows there?
Underneath, you couldn't do it upstairs, but then underneath, and then how many people can you get in there? And
correct.
Quite honestly, you're still going to hear it, so what are we talking about?
Correct.
It's just, it defies all logic. But it just goes to show you have one noisy citizen, and they get their way because they complain enough. It's unbelievable. But there you go.
Someone should do a show about the inefficiency of local government and all the...
Since I'm not affiliated with them anymore, if you ever want to really do it, I can help you do that.
Sergio says the track is within Sharon Bronson's district. So...
That's right, yeah.
So...
I remember.
Umpire John, Chris, that's a lie. That woman has no friends. Damn.
Yeah, she's not very, yeah. I can't see her being very sociable. I really can't.
Joanne, not DiFilippo, says to me, this woman is attempting to remove multicultural music being expressed by indigenous people.
Wow.
I got to get to this one story because I don't want to run out of time later. This is this horrible, horrible traffic incident happened in March where these young ladies were walking their dogs and someone ran over them and killed one of them plus two of the dogs and then injured the other girls.
Right.
And you can see the little memorial right by Naranja Park
in
Oral Valley.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
So... from what I've heard about, you know, what happened was when they investigated the driver, she wasn't impaired, mm-hmm. right? She wasn't like, there wasn't any, they can tell at the time of the incident what you were doing on your phone. She wasn't doing anything.
She was just a bad driver.
Right. Somehow she lost her attention and she, and that part of the road, because it's near where I live, there is no sidewalks, right?
No.
You're just walking along the side of the road.
Right.
And it's such a little, margin for error is small.
Yes, it is.
So if you look down or you just swerve a little bit, you can really hurt somebody like this happened. So the family says there's the title. This is Rebecca Taylor at KOLD. Family seeking $90 million settlement from Oral Valley. And the part that was really fascinating about this is the... They got Tim Bowen, who's one of our council guys, on the camera. And he says, oh, these poor girls, very unfortunate. They were happily walking with their backs to traffic. The car swerved onto the narrow soldier and just took them out, unquote. Which is accurate.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, you know, there's that Bill Engvall thing, there's your sign.
Uh-huh.
All right. So believe it or not, this is KOLD said Tim Bowen, a resident of Oral Valley and a member of the town council. Just want to let you know, it's inherent if you're a member of the town council that you're a resident of Oral Valley. Just want to let the geniuses over in KOLD get that. All right. Now, so Bowen confirms that the town council is aware of the settlement demands, but can't discuss it. Right. But then during part of the story, he says, at the accident site, Bowen said improvements should be made due to narrow shoulder and lack of sidewalks. Quote, it's very difficult to find a place walking facing traffic because the roadway is configured on the other side of the street, unquote. And that's all true.
But I don't know if
this is the Oral Valley legal team's nightmare.
Yeah, you don't want to say that.
Is the council guy came out. I'm not saying he did anything wrong if he really, you know, he believed that. I'm just saying that... Oh, you know who the town attorney is? Rothschild, Methson, Rothschild, or whatever.
You know what, though, Chris? Though, it just points to the thing, because I've been in business for a long time, and I have taken with various companies many classes on how to conduct yourself in a TV interview or a newspaper interview or whatever. And the thing is, I think a lot of these officials in small towns like that never go through that, and they have no idea what they're doing. And they end up saying things that they shouldn't.
So if you're the attorney, when this thing first hits, you call up or you email or call up every council person.
Yep.
And you say, don't say a word.
Right. Let us handle it.
So again, now I'm not saying, I'm not saying that what Tim said was wrong. He's right. This is a horrible tragedy and everything he said about the street is right. But
you don't
it's
say
a,
it.
It's a legal nightmare for Oral Valley. So maybe you can have a doobie with Jonathan Rothschild and they can chill out.
I don't know.
Just get to know each other. Not that Jonathan's ever smoked pot in his life.
Did you say doobie?
I said doobie.
Doobie brothers.
Am I allowed to say that? National Pie Day. It's Wear a Dress Day. That's for girls, freaks. National Cookie Cutter Day.
What about all the other 25 genders?
Oh, thank you. Bartender Appreciation Day, not mixologist. Get over yourselves, people. Civil Air Patrol Day, awesome. National Christmas Lights Day.
There you go.
We got that.
They
going.
Better be up too.
Wow.
National Peppermint Bark Day. Let's go to Brushfire Sean before we run out of time and get to Inca's Peruvian. What's up, sir?
I would say National Van Halen Day.
Wow.
Every day is Van Halen. Every day. And I want to say something, Chris. I sent you pictures of Chickie when she came down here.
Yes.
This place has so much to offer. She came out from Baton Rouge, Tombstone, Bisbee. This place really does have a lot to offer. We talk bad about this. She's moving out here, dude. This town really does have a lot to offer. We had so much fun in this place. There's so much props I can get. We went to Gaslight. Somehow I got the last two seats at Gaslight Theater.
I love it. I assume it was a Christmas show.
Yeah, it was Christmas, small town Christmas. And I would say anybody that lives here that hasn't been to Gaslight, you're missing out.
I love it.
It was absolutely spot on. It was so much fun and just happy. You know, everybody, the servers are... Everything's good.
So
this good.
I want a little bow on what you said. All these things you're talking about is why it's such a waste of opportunity with all these fools that run the place, right?
I just want, you know, I talk about how bad Tucson is, but I'm bringing her here. There's a reason. This place is special.
All right, Sean, have a great weekend.
Thank you, mate, brother.
Christmas movies and Peruvian food coming up.